I'm reading from Romans 8, verses 13 to 17. And you can find that on page 1134 of the Bibles. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be using the screen a bit, so if you want to come down as a smaller person and come to the front, you can do, but you want to make sure you can still see the screen, or there's a front pew here or here that you can always come and sit in as well. You're going to come sit down here. That's great. That's really helpful. Can you still see the screen? Good. That's all right then. It's so good to have us all together today, isn't it? We've got the adults and the young people, parents and children all together, which is really nice. It's nice to have the whole family together because part of what we're going to be thinking today is family. That's what we're going to be thinking about. In our first talk, the main thing we're going to be thinking about is family. And I wonder what comes to mind when you think of family. What are some of the things that come to mind when you think of what a good family consists of? What do you think of when you think of family? Yeah. Love? Yeah, love. We think of love. Anything else we think of with family?
We love Jesus.
And we love Jesus. That's love. Yeah. No, just love. That's all we've got in family. Love. Anyone else? Go on. Go again. Caring? Anything? Fun? Yeah.
Together.
I think you've read my slides. Yeah, I actually looked up what are the most commonly associated words with family, and they were these. They were love, laughter, happiness, relationship, devotion, memories, sharing, caring, and trust. Those are the words that most commonly associate with family. That's what we think of and what we expect a family to kind of be built on. That's why that picture's made up of those words. Now, that's not always how we'll feel with our family. Sometimes we might get a bit grumpy. Sometimes we might feel a bit sad. But overall, that's what we think of when we think about family. And today, we're going to be thinking about God's family. Now, does anyone know who's in God's family? Yeah? Us? Anyone else? His son, maybe? God's children? Jesus, he had a son, didn't he? And you've already gone and said, and there's more. There's more to it. God's children, that passage tells us there's someone else who can call themselves God's children. And it's those who are led by the Spirit. So the Bible tells us that those who are led by the Spirit can call themselves God's children. Now, hands up if you're a child. Some clever adults, oh, yeah, they're picking up. Because everyone's a child of someone, aren't they? Everyone's got parents. Everyone's got mummies and daddies. Now, they back there might not look like children anymore. Some of them might look quite old and definitely not like children anymore. You might think I look quite old and not like a child anymore, but we're all children of someone. And actually, the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit can call themselves children, children of God. I wonder if you know who it is that is led by the Spirit. Who are these people that can call themselves children of God? Well, the Bible tells us, and Paul's been telling us, the adults we've been looking at, that those who trust in Jesus are those who can call themselves children of God, those who are led by the Spirit. They're children of God. Because when we trust in Jesus, we want to do what the Spirit tells us to. We want to be led by the Spirit. So when we come to Jesus, when we come to trust in him, God adopts us into his family. But let's make that a little bit clearer. So I've got one of these. Now, when you're in a family, you have a document like this that identifies what family you are in. I'll hold it a bit high. I was hoping this would be massive, and then I put it on this board, and it looks really small. But What it is a birth certificate. And what it tells you is it says your name. So there it says Phil, that's me. And then it says who my parents are. It says Julian and Fiona Rowlandson. So it says I'm part of the Rowlandson family. It says where they live and what their jobs are. So that tells me who my family are. If I was ever unsure for some reason or someone wanted to check, this happens in American politics sometimes, they want to see the birth certificate of the person to make sure they are part of the family they say they are. So you get one of these when you're born. When you're born into a family, your parents take you and they get one of these certificates and it says, this child is part of our family. Or when you're adopted and when you're born and you join a different family, you get one of these that says you're part of that family. So if I got this, I'm part of the Rowlandson family. Now, when we're adopted by God, we don't get a certificate. When we join God's family, we don't get a certificate, do we? But what we do have is we have something called the Holy Spirit that tells us we are part of God's family. So instead of a certificate of birth, didn't need that elbow anyway. We have the Holy Spirit. Writing sideways, quite difficult. That's a sideways R. The Holy Spirit. So when we get adopted into God's family, the Holy Spirit works as our witness, and it says we are children of God. But at the moment, this still says I'm a child of Julian and Fiona Rowlandson, doesn't it? What happens instead is all of this becomes about God. I'm going to get a different pen when I do this afternoon. And it says, parent, God. Where does God live? What's his address? He lives in heaven. So if we had a certificate, it would say God in heaven. And his job, what's God's job? That's a tricky one, isn't it? Bit of a trick question. He looks after us. He does everything. Shall I put down creator? Because he created everything, didn't he? That's a good job title. Don't often. So then that would be our new family, our new identity. We have the Holy Spirit testifying that we are God's children, that those who belong in God's family. That would be a great certificate to have if someone asked you whose family and you could show that to them and say, I'm a child of God. And we thought about family, didn't we? Those words we thought about earlier, love, happiness, laughter, relationship, caring, sharing. Well, those are things that happen when we join a family. And when we join God's family, it's no different. We get to be part of a loving relationship that's devoted. We share with each other. We care with each other. We do things for one another. God would do anything for us, wouldn't he? And that's because he loves us. God is our Father who loves us. Maybe you can think of all the good things your dad does for you. Maybe your dad cooks for you. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe your dad takes you to school every day. Maybe your dad picks you up when you fall over and gives you a big cuddle. Maybe he tells you the best stories or plays with you and your toys. For me, when I need anything, if I have any issue or I need to borrow something or I need some advice, I go to my dad. Even if I don't need advice, my dad will give it to me. But I'll tell you why that is. It's because he loves me and cares for me. He wants to do anything for me because he loves me. And we can call God our Father. Do you remember we've been adopted into his family as his children? And it's the same when we have God as our Father. He loves us. And he cares for us. He wants to do anything for us. He sent his son Jesus for us. He's not someone else's father. He's our Father. We get to call him our Father. Later on, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, which starts. Does anyone know the first line of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. Because he's our Father, isn't he? That's what he means to us. We can talk to him. We can come to him. And he listens to us. He'll do anything for us because we're his children. We're going to think a little bit about what being his children means for us. But first of all, we're going to sing a song. It's a great song, that one, about how we can trust our Father God. So I have a question then for you as we come back. We're going to come back to being children of God in a moment. But first of all, who would like to be the next king or queen of the country? One person, a couple of people would love to be the next king or queen of the country. I'm afraid I don't have that offer for you today, but do you know what you'd need in order to become the next king or queen of the country? Who knows what you'd need in order to become the next king or queen of the country? God, in Old Testament times you probably would, but now there's a lineage. So what we have is we have The queen, there she is. And does anyone know who is next in line to be the king or queen? Prince Harry's not right. It's actually his dad. It's Prince Charles. That's right. And anyone know who's after him? Harry's brother, William. And anyone know who's after William in the line? It is George. Look at him. He looks like he'd be a happy king, doesn't he? Now, see, they would inherit the throne of England because they're the son or daughter of the current king or queen, or the future king or queen. You see, they're heirs to the throne, and an heir is someone who receives an inheritance. An inheritance is something that's passed along by someone else. So for the kings and queens, they pass along all these great things. You get a castle, a throne, a crown, an orb, and a stick. I don't know what the orb and the stick are for, but they look pretty good. Because they're heirs, they inherit those things when they become the king or the queen. So a future king or queen would need to be part of that family. Well, imagine today if the queen came in that door and said, I want you to be part of my family. I want to adopt you as my heir. That'd be pretty good. But who would like that to happen if you got adopted into the queen's family? A couple more people than said they wanted to be kings or queens. So hopefully you're thinking you'll come into a Harry sort of position. But imagine if she said, I want you to be my heir. And so instead, we join that line of inheritance. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? I think that'd be all right. That's a lot like what it says our Bible's relationship is with God as our Father. So I would get all of that inheritance, but it's different with God. We don't get those things. What's our inheritance going to be with God as our Father? I mean, those things sound pretty good, don't they? Being heir to the Queen and getting a castle and a throne and a crown. But actually, over the queen, there's an even better king, isn't there? Who's the better king over the queen? God and Jesus, that's right. So Jesus is actually, there's the real line of inheritance, isn't it? Jesus is the bigger and better king. When I was a kid growing up, I don't know if you know this song anymore, but when I was growing up, there was a song that said, who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? And the answer was Jesus. Jesus is the king of the jungle, he's the king of the sea, he's the king of the universe, he's the king of everything. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, to be the king of everything? And actually, that's what Jesus inherited from God, his Father. He became the king of everything. And his inheritance as a child of God, as a son of God, was everything. Now, does anyone remember who other children of God are? This is the test if you've been listening. Yeah, Alice. Pardon? Us, that's right, yeah. Good work, Alice, and not Zanna. We can be children of God if we trust in Jesus. So we get to share in that inheritance, the Bible tells us. We are also heirs with Jesus. Not heirs on our own, with Jesus getting everything and we get something else. We're not the Harry in the situation. We're co-heirs with Jesus. So actually our inheritance, the Bible says, is in the entire earth and everything, and eternal life with Jesus and God when Jesus comes again, which is pretty amazing. It's much better than, say, a crown or some sticks. So these things that looked pretty good at the beginning, well, they're rubbish in comparison to everything, to the entire earth. But that's what we get as inheritance as children of God. We're heirs to everything. We don't just get a chair or a hat or a stick, which is all those things are. We get everything, which is much, much better than that, much better than being adopted into the Queen's family, because we're adopted into the King's family, the King of absolutely everything. We get to share in Jesus's glory. Our inheritance is everything, because it's Jesus's inheritance that we get to share. Now that sounds pretty good, but sometimes it can be hard, can't it, to follow what Jesus wants us to do. Sometimes people might be mean to us because we follow Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to understand what we're hearing in church, maybe particularly if I'm speaking. Sometimes it's hard because we have to choose between our friends or our families or our jobs or things like that. And Jesus, we might have to choose between these things or Jesus. And that can be really, really difficult. That can feel like we're suffering. That can feel like it's really hard. But the truth is, Jesus suffered too. And the Bible tells us that Jesus suffered and died, but we share in his glory and we share in his sufferings, but it's worth it. So it might be hard sometimes, but the end, it's totally worth it. You've probably done some hard things in your life, and at the end you've seen the weather. For me, you've seen my handwriting already is no good. When I was learning to write my name, I found it really difficult. This is probably something like my first attempt. It's really hard when you're learning to write your name. But who can write their name now? A lot of adults didn't put their hands up, so that should tell you something. But if you keep trying, eventually, it is worth it. I wrote this on the computer, so it's not quite as good as my real handwriting. It might be a bit better than my real handwriting, but it's worth it at the end because you can write your name, even though it's hard to get there. Well, that's what it's like following Jesus. It may seem hard, but it's completely worth it because of the great inheritance we're going to get. And if you're an adult here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, can I encourage you to think of that promise of inheritance and ask, would it be worth looking into that further? If you do think that, come and talk to me or Andy. Going to stitch him up at the end. We love talking about those sort of things, so do come and chat to us. But for those of us who are led by the Spirit, those who trust Jesus, those who are children of God, we can turn to our Father, God, because he loves us and he cares for us. We can turn to him as our Father, as our Dad. Actually, the Bible uses the word Abba, which is similar to Daddy. We can call him our Daddy. As his children, we will receive a great inheritance, and it's worth any struggle we may face today. We are children of God and co-heirs with Christ. Isn't that great news? Why don't I pray for us, and then Zana will continue in prayers in a moment, I think. Father, we thank you that we can come to you as our Father. Lord, it's so good that we can have an inheritance through you and share that with Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross so that we might become children of God, to be led by the Spirit, and to share in that great inheritance. Amen.